We're looking at the letter to Titus. We began looking at it a while ago. We're going to return to the letter of Titus. Titus chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city, as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. The Lord bless his word. Shaul had been through the island of Crete, and he had left behind many disciples that were partly organized, but who needed still some help. There were two things he mentions in verse 5. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. Things needed to be put straight, and leaders had to be chosen so that everything could be done in order. And he went on from verse 6 to verse 9 to describe the characteristics of elders, godly elders. First of all, the elder had to be the husband of one wife. We looked at that last time. He had to have faithful children, not riot or unruly. And the reason given is in verse 7. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God. Blameless is repeated from verse 6. If a man is blameless, elders are not free from fault, but they were to be free from blame and from a bad reputation. So they had to be the husband of one wife, having faithful children, and thirdly, in verse 7, not self-willed, submitted to God and ready to listen to others. James puts it for us in chapter 3, James chapter 3 and verse 7, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That was one of the characteristics of a person who was fit to be an elder. Not self-willed. Another characteristic was not soon angry. That is, slow to anger, anger for the right reasons, and aimed not so much at the person as the issue, aimed at issues, not at persons. Also, an elder being not soon angry would be better at calming the troubled waters rather than stirring up the storm. Another characteristic in verse 7, not given to wine. Wine was allowed in moderation, and as needed, Shaul wrote to Timothy and said, drink no longer water, but a little wine for your stomach's sake and for your often infirmities. So wine wasn't prohibited, but it should not be something to which the elder is addicted. The devastating effects of wine are well known. Let's look at some of them. Genesis 19, beginning at verse 30. Then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him, for he was afraid to dwell in Zoar. And he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. Now the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old, and there is no man on the earth to come in to us, as is the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. So they made their father drink wine that night. That's one of the devastating effects of wine, as in the experience of Lot. Another example is found in Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 8 through 11. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. The sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, are mentioned in verse 1 and 2 of Leviticus 10. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. They had probably been drinking wine, which was allowed to the priests, but restricted to the time when they were away from the tabernacle. God had said to Aaron in verse 9, do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. They had probably drunk too much, and they lost their lives. Verse 7 of Titus chapter 1 goes on to say that an overseer, an elder, must not be quick-tempered, not easily flying into a rage, not violent, nor greedy for money. Elders must be free from the love of money. And that was something that even Christian leaders can be guilty of. There are two examples. There's Gehazi, the servant of Elisha the prophet. We read about him in 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman had just been miraculously healed of leprosy, and he wanted to reward Elisha the prophet. But Elisha the prophet would not take anything from Naaman the Syrian. But Gehazi, looking at 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Look, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian while not receiving from his hands what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him." He pursued after Naaman and got clothes and money, and his penalty was pronounced by Elisha the prophet in verse 27. "Therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever." And he went out from his presence leprous, white as snow. There's another sad example in the second book, in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. "Now it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abia. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice." So this is a fault that is common even to believers, and something to beware of, as we see in the example of Gehazi, the sons of Samuel. Judas was a thief, and he bore the money bag of the disciples. There was Demas also, who left Shaul and returned to the world, which is a warning for anyone who aspires to be an elder, to make sure that their hands are clean. We come back again to Titus chapter 1. We've been looking at negatives: not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. Now we come to the positive aspects of the man who is ready to take on responsibility as an elder. Verse 8 of Titus 1. "But hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled." Hospitable, first of all. A lover of hospitality. There are many examples of elders who were hospitable. Abraham sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and as he sat there, the Lord appeared to him and gave him a blessing. Abraham ran to meet the visitors. There were three men that stood by him. He ran to meet them and offered them hospitality. Job also mentioned that he never allowed a stranger to go by without something to eat and drink, to send him on the way. Hebrews says the same thing. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Hebrews 13, verse 2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And John wrote in his third letter of John, beginning at verse 8, Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. So an elder must be known for his hospitality, a lover of good men, a lover of what is good, as we have it in verse 7. David was like that. He said, He that speaks uprightly will dwell with me. Sober-minded, that is, one who is in his right mind, who doesn't go off the deep end, who is sensible and discreet. The next characteristic is an elder must be just, righteous and impartial in character towards his fellow men, righteous before God also, here described as a holy man, self-controlled, that is, moderate in his feelings and in his desires, not enslaved to things, self-controlled, holy. And verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convict those who contradict. There are the positive characteristics of an elder. Holding fast the faithful word. The meaning in the Greek is holding it firmly and steadily against those that would pull in the opposite direction. That's what is meant by holding fast the faithful word, as an anchor that holds the ship. So the elder holds the truth firmly, is not shaken, is not easily misled, constantly against the pull of false teachers, laying it up in his heart, not removing the hedge or the ancient landmark. Proverbs 22, verse 28. Proverbs 22 and verse 28. Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. People had their boundary markers for their properties, and it was a sin to remove those landmarks which had been set at the beginning of their possession of the land. An elder was one that would not remove the hedge or the ancient landmark, spiritually meaning holding on to the truth against the pull of those who believe in spreading false doctrine. We have an example of that in the life of Isaac. Abraham, his father, had dug many wells for his flocks and for his herds and for the people that were with him. But after Abraham died, the spiteful Philistines blocked the wells that Abraham had dug, covered them with earth. We read about Isaac that he didn't waste his time looking for other wells. He began by unearthing the wells which his father had dug. And in that sense, he was restoring the ancient landmarks, opening the wells. That speaks to us of the elder who is concerned for the truth. And the reason given in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9 is that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. So an elder must be well armed with scripture, familiar with the word of God, and who's able to use his Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, know the verses to look up, to exhort and convict those who contradict. Those are the characteristics of a good elder. And the reason given is in verses 10 onwards. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. The reason why an elder must hold fast the faithful word is because there were idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, that is, Jewish false prophets. In those days, the majority of the preachers were Jewish. Gentile teachers were just beginning to appear and to play their part. Shaul says there are many insubordinate, a large number of them, not just an occasional one. In the days of King Ahab, king of Israel, there were 800 prophets, and only one true prophet among them, Micaiah the son of Imlah. 1 versus 800. And it was the same situation spiritually in the days of the Shlichim, the apostles. It was the same situation then. And he describes them as not only being large in number, but also being antichrist. John in his first letter said, even now, this day, there are many antichrists. The elder is the defender of the truth. He is the one that is to safeguard the sheep from the wolves in sheep's clothing. They are described as idle talkers and deceivers. That is, false prophets, imposters, Madison Avenue salesmen. An example in the life of Shaul is in Acts chapter 19, verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Yeshua over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We adjure you by the Yeshua whom Paul preaches." And they tried to free a man that was demon-possessed, but they almost got killed in the process. There's another example of a false prophet called Elymas, the sorcerer. Acts chapter 13, beginning at verse 4. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Shaul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. That's what Shaul meant by vain deceivers whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. The false prophets took advantage. The false prophets took advantage of the lady of the house. We have laws in place even today to protect homemakers from unscrupulous salesmen. And they had them then in those days. Our last two verses are verse 12 and 13. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." There was a place for an elder to reprove and to rebuke. And in this case, where the people were known for lying, the reproof had to be sharp, that they may be sound in the faith. Godly elders, they are not easily found, but we thank God for every one of them. We'll close with a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd give us godly leadership and that our elders may be protected from those that would mislead them or harm them. Give them the wisdom and the courage that they need to hold fast the faithful word as they have been taught, keeping to the ancient landmarks and replacing the hedges that have been broken down. We pray in our Lord Yeshua's name. Amen.